This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We stopped in the last episode reflecting on the ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah talking about the siyam. And we mentioned that there's a secret between these ayat which comes, and this is really something, this is when we talk about making the tadabbur, reflecting on the Quran. This is a big tadabbur here. And all the ayat, 183, 184, 185, and then 187, all of them are talking about the siyam. In between them, between any 185 and 187, comes in verse 186, a topic which seems to be that it has no relation to the siyam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And if my servants ask you about concerning me, they ask you about me, then say, indeed, I am qareeb, that I am close. Astajibu, Allah said that I'm qareeb, ajibu da'wat al-da'i, that ajibu da'wat al-da'i, that I answer the da'wah, the du'a of the one who calls. When I'm reciting the Quran and I come to something like this, right away, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come with an ayah about dua in the middle of the verses about as-siyam? Is there any relation? And right after, there's another verse about the siyam. So it wasn't like the verse in the siyam finished, and then this verse came as a new topic. And as we said, something interesting in the Quran, that the only time that the siyam was mentioned in the Quran was in these verses in Surah Al-Baqarah. So what is the hikmah? Here's the tadabbur. Here's where we stop and start to reflect. How are we going to reflect? We're going to look a bit in the front of the ayat that came before, and the ayat that came after, or the ayat that came after. What is the relation? Why is Allah mentioning this? Starting to reflect, what is the relation of fasting with dua? Alhamdulillah, right away, I think we see a lot of relation with it. You know that from the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ, that the fasting one has a dua that will not be rejected. It will be accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the dua? What is the time of dua? It is at the time of iftar. Also, as we're fasting throughout the day, we have during before the salawat. And then we have a special time as well, because we're implementing the sunnah, we're following the sunnah. So we have the time before Suhoor as well. That's also a time that the dua inshallah ta'ala is going to be answered. So all of these times are times of dua in the month of Ramadan. We're going to be focusing more. Also, we have in Tarawih, where our imam is making dua and we're making dua behind him. Or if we're leading the prayer ourselves, or we're praying by ourselves, as many of us are now in quarantine, that we are making the dua as well. And if we're praying at home, we have an opportunity now to make a proper Tarawih. Not like the turbocharge, you know, express tarawih, that they pray very fast, recitation wise, not making proper sujood and ruku. Alhamdulillah. As we say, a lot of times you look at things as being negative, but it can actually be a blessing in disguise. Alhamdulillah. It can be a blessing in disguise. Now, when I make my sujood, I make my sujood as long as I want. I can take a minute, I can take 2 minutes, I can take 5 minutes in one sujood. If we're praying in the masjid, wallahi, we don't even get maybe three tasbihs in, if we're lucky. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah bil'ala, subhanallah bil'ala, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. The third one you can't even get out of your mouth most of the time. But now, alhamdulillah, I can make the tasbih as 10 times if I want. And I say it from my heart and I mean it. Subhanallah bil'ala, subhanallah bil'ala. Taking my time. No rush, alhamdulillah. I'm praying by myself. And then the opportunity I have now for dua as well. The closest that you'll be to your Rabb is when? when you're sajid, when you're prostrating, alhamdulillah, there's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have the opportunity to make sujood at this time, to make dua at this time of sujood. So alhamdulillah, look at it, always look at things positively, alhamdulillah, the situation that we're in. Let's look at the ayat. What came before this verse? If you look, the verse that came before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, شهر رمضان شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The verse before. The month of Ramadan that the Quran was revealed in as a source of guidance to mankind. So here you see the relationship of the Quran. After it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what is made halal for you. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ. That it's been made halal for you during the nights of the fasting. The things that you can do during the night that you can't do during the day. Mention the verse. And then at the end of the verse, look at what is mentioned. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. That these are the boundaries, the limits set down by Allah. So do not transgress them. And when you look at these verses, something very interesting as well. The first verse of fasting, Allah mentioned the objective, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And the last verse, in verse 187, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. So the first one, that perhaps you will obtain taqwa and perhaps that they will obtain taqwa. And the objective here of fasting is very clear, to obtain the taqwa. So what is the relation between our taqwa and between the fast? What is the relationship between the Quran and between the dua? The verse before was the Quran. What is the relationship between the halal things and not transgressing the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes in the verse after? This is the tadabbur, to reflect. All of these things have an impact on our dua. And before we mention in detail, inshallah, from the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at what comes after in the verse. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. That I answer the supplication of the one who supplicates when he calls on me. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can command us to make dua. But look at the asloob, the style that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to encourage us to make dua. He said, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. So let them respond to me in my obedience, meaning by making dua to me and to believe in me. And then he said, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, that perhaps they will be rightfully guided. And the style in this verse is amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so come make dua to me. I'm going to answer you. The answer, it will be granted to you. All that's upon you is to take the step and to make the dua. And then the gentle approach of our Rabb, of our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. So let them respond to me. Let them respond to me. And let them believe in me. Let them put the ibadah into action, the dua, and they will be yarshudun, they will be rightfully guided, inshallah ta'ala. The dua is the path to guidance. The dua is from the greatest forms of ibadah. The dua is ibadah, as it came in the Quran and in the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Surah Ghafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي. And your Lord said, make dua to me. أَسْتَجِيبْ لَكُمْ. I'll answer you. Just like in the verse. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. As it came in the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. Here, أَسْتَجِيبْ لَكُمْ. I'm going to answer you. But those who turn away from the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn away from not making dua to him, Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. That indeed those who turn away from my ibadah. And look at the wordings mentioned in the verse when he said, let them answer me. Let them answer me, and he said, let them call me, I will answer them. And those who turn away from my ibadah, they will enter into Jahannam Dakhirin. Sayadkhuluna Jahannam Dakhirin. They will enter into Jahannam humiliated. They will enter into Jahannam humiliated. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Du'a, it is ibadah. This is ibadah. Why is it such a great form of worship, the ibadah? And once again here, look at the relationship between the fasting and between the du'a. Because of the humility, the humbleness, that it brings when you raise your hands to your Creator, Ya Rab. La hawla li wa la quwwa illa bik. There's no strength, no ability that I have except through you, Ya Allah. I show my weakness. I show my need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like at the time of fasting, I become weak. I don't have my water. And even it's not like, you know, intermittent fasting and stuff where you can, you know, drink your fluids without no water, no food. You start to get a bit weak. You're in need of food, in need of water. So that, and just waiting for that time to break the fast. So just like the same time now, when you raise your hands, Ya Allah, subhanAllah. That humility, that humbleness when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the manners of making dua is that we are humble, that we don't transgress, that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of hope and fear, as it came in different verses. But want to mention the things that are mentioned from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before we end the episode, inshallah ta'ala. He mentioned the man who was traveling on a long travel, and he becomes in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he raises his hands to the sky, and the food which he eats, the water which he drinks, the clothes which he's wearing, all of it is from haram sources. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Allah, the Prophet said, how is it going to be answered him? Everything is haram. This shows us the importance of halal. And go back to the verse we talked about, the issue of the halal things that during the night. The impact that halal has on our dua. The impact of leaving haram in order to obtain what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah. Leaving shortcuts, getting over, cheating on people, things that can help us get ahead. But we leave all of that, we find the barakah and the blessings in our dua because it's done through halal. This is the reality that we need to reflect on. Why is our dua not being answered? Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahimahullah, he was asked this question. Allah said, to call on me and I will answer you. But we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but our duas are not answered. He mentioned several things, but very interesting what he mentioned from the five things he mentioned was the fifth thing. أَخَذْتُمْ فِي عُيُوبَ النَّاسِ وَتَرَكْتُمْ عُيُوبَ أَنفُسِكُمْ. That you focused on the faults of others and you forgot your own faults. Add to that, mention what's mentioned in the hadith. Haram, 80 people eating haram, and then they raise their hands, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. How is the dua going to be answered? Allah told us, call on me. I will answer you. A guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah told us, ad'uni, make dua to me. Tell my ibad, tell my servants to make dua to me. I will answer them if they call on me. He said, we make dua to Allah and they don't answer us. So what is this? This is very confusing for a lot of people, but it was came straight in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that one of three things happened. And this is what we need to realize. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that there's no Muslim who makes dua that doesn't have forms of haram in it. Pay attention. The adab and dua. He said it doesn't have qati'at al-rahim. It doesn't have ithim or qati'at al-rahim. It doesn't have a sin in the dua. It doesn't have cutting off family ties. He said, except for that Allah gives him one of three. Either he's going to answer his dua right away. His dua is going to be accepted. That's what we all wish. But actually, it's not always better for us. Pay attention to that. When you look at the next two, you realize that sometimes the fact that it's not answered is actually better for us, alhamdulillah. Or he said that he will leave it for him in the hereafter, meaning he'll give him the reward for it in the hereafter. What you want in the dunya, you're going to get even better than that in the hereafter, inshallah ta'ala. And the third thing, that something that was evil that was going to come to you, what was equivalent from that dua you were making, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pushes it away from you in this life, alhamdulillah. So the dua, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, it's going to be answered. It's going to be answered, guaranteed, All we have to do is to make the effort. Make sure we have the adab. Make sure we have the humbleness. Make sure we have the focus. Make sure we have the tranquility. Make sure we show our need, our haja for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Rabb. Make sure that, Ya Allah, I'm filling myself, my soul. I'm filling my body with only halal. I'm staying away from haram. All of this for you, Ya Allah. Answer me, Ya Allah. Guide me, Ya Allah. Keep me firm, Ya Allah. Give me the best of this life and the next, Ya Allah, as I'm raising my hands in my heart, begging on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way, inshallah ta'ala, to implement and to reflect on this ayah and then to put it into action, inshallah ta'ala. And until our next episode, Allah knows best. Allahu alam wa sallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.